Karma is an ancient belief that is prominent in Hinduism. The belief is that your intentions and your actions influence your future and your reincarnation, the situation you find yourself in your next of many lives. So you think good things and you do good things, and then good things will happen to you, and after you die, you'll receive a favorable upgrade. The opposite is also true, that if you have bad motivations and bad behaviors, well, then bad things are going to happen to you, and when you die, you're downgraded. I don't have to say any more to convince you that as Christians, you have no business even saying the word karma, do you? It's from another religion. It says that after death, your future is determined on your good works, and heaven isn't a thing. You're simply born into the world, and then after you die, you become a new creature or a human being in better or worse circumstances. So if you have been prone to using that word, if you have adopted that or even bought into that philosophy in some way, trash it. Today is the last day to use that word. You don't want people thinking that you actually believe that, do you? And you don't want them thinking that it's even a real thing. The reality is that with God, things are entirely different. God does not operate on a merit-based system. He operates out of a heart of grace and love. That's what we're thinking about in worship today, and that's what we find Paul writing to the Christians who lived in Rome. And his words are as much for us as they were for them, because we deal with the same sinful nature they did, and God's grace towards sinners hasn't changed in the least since then. To summarize this simply, we're a mess, and God's grace is amazing. The Apostle Paul was a brilliant man, well-trained, gifted, called by God, writer of 13 books of the Bible. If you've ever looked for a favorite Bible passage, you may very well have chosen one that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write in one of his letters. I know for a fact that some of you found your favorite Bible passage right in Romans chapter 8. And if you're looking for a favorite chapter in the Bible, you may have also chose Romans chapter 8. You can tell by the way Paul wrote here that he got it. He understood the love of God, the grace of God, the gift of Christ, the treasure of the Spirit. But he also knew the struggle that he had with his sinful nature. Maybe you remember him saying this, which comes right before our reading this morning. He said, "For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not keep doing what I want. Instead, I do what I hate. I fail to do the good I want to do. Instead, the evil I do not want to do, that is what I keep on doing. What a miserable wretch I am." We can relate, right? Imagine this. Your life is literally on the line. It's your heart. And a surgeon saves you from dying. You would come out of that experience a different person, wouldn't you? You would appreciate the knowledge and the skill and the commitment of a doctor in ways that you never had before. You might even come out of it realizing the blessing that each day is in a way that you hadn't before. Or imagine being stuck at the bottom of a desert canyon, desperately dehydrated, exhausted to the point where you can't even get up, and rescuers come to your aid. You would be so grateful for their response to your emergency, literally saving your life. Your awareness of the danger of a malfunctioning heart or the desert heat is heightened by being smacked in the face with the reality of those things. Then you can appreciate how dire the situation was and how great the rescue from those deadly things. in a similar way. You can't understand and appreciate the love of God through Jesus if you don't know the deadly disaster that he rescued you from, can you? You can't. You have to be smacked in the face with the reality of your situation before a holy God. Paul does that here. He tells you how bad you are, how bad everyone is, and how eternally, devastatingly, deadly your situation is. You have a spiritually diseased heart. You're spiritually stranded. You will die without God coming to your rescue. There's no way for you to fix your own heart. There's no way to claw and crawl your way out of the chasm that exists between you and God. When Paul talks about the law of sin and death, what he means is the law, the control that sin has over us. He says that the law, and this is God's law, was unable to make us righteous because we couldn't keep it. That's a lost condition, isn't it? The Apostle Paul knew that all of this was true for himself and that he deserved to be condemned by God. The question this morning is, do you realize that too? We don't even have to leave what Paul writes here to find some of our sins that prove that. Maybe we have had at least the fleeting thought that we aren't that bad, that we're certainly better than other people. We certainly deserve at least a little bit of God's attention and his love. This happens sometimes when things are really bad. Or we might be guilty of pointing at the sins of other people without realizing the seriousness of our own sin. We come to church, but then during the week we may not think much at all or at all about what Jesus has saved us from. We hear it so often. Maybe it's lost its specialness to us. We kind of take it for granted. Or, and this is pretty awful, we're okay walking around in the sinful flesh, doing godless things instead of living according to the Spirit, like Paul talks about. Thinking according to the sinful nature will cause that kind of thing. Can we just admit, like Paul did, that our lives often look like what he describes here? He says, to be sure, those who are in harmony with the sinful flesh think about things the way the sinful flesh does. The way the sinful flesh thinks results in death. The mindset of the sinful flesh is hostile to God, since it does not submit to God's law, and in fact it cannot. Those who are in the sinful flesh cannot please God. The truth is, this describes what we are by nature. This is the way we're born into the world. And because of that, we deserve condemnation, every one of us. We should be declared guilty by God, and we should be punished by him. Just like when a police officer tells a driver that they're wrong for driving through a red light and then gives them a ticket. Or like a parent tells a child they're wrong and then puts them in time out or grounds them. Just like that, God should tell us that we're wrong and then punish us. And obviously, when we're talking about our sin and our souls, this is much more important than a ticket or a timeout. God should send us to hell. He should actually send us to hell because of our sin, because of our sinful nature, because of the things that we do time and time again that go against him. The amazing thing that we hear today is that even though we deserve condemnation, Christ brings us grace instead. Let me read again what Paul wrote just after telling about his struggle with sin. So then, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Indeed, what the law was unable to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did, when he sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to deal with sin. God condemned sin in his flesh so that the righteous decree of the law would be fully satisfied in us who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Have you ever heard sweeter words than these? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You trust in Christ, God does not condemn you. And he explains why Jesus took our place. The holy law of God could not save us. It only condemned us because our sinful nature could not meet its demands. And so God stepped in. The Father stepped in and he sent his one and only Son to live as a human being, or as Paul puts it, in the likeness of sinful flesh. After perfectly pleasing God with his sinless life, he became a sin offering for all people when he died on the cross. So just like that one sin in the Garden of Eden caused sin to trickle down to all people, so this one act of Christ, his death on the cross, also affected all people. The payment for sin was made, and through it, full and free forgiveness was earned for every single person. So Christ brought grace to us all. The grace of God is that sin was condemned in Jesus, so that all who trust in Christ will not be condemned. Instead of seeing the perfection of Christ as he hung there on the cross, God instead looked and he saw our sins piled on him. And instead of seeing us as people who continually break his law, he looks at us because of Christ and he sees us as righteous. He sees that because of Jesus, the righteous decree of the law has been fully satisfied in us. God's grace in Jesus sees us as perfectly righteous. It's as if we have kept every one of his laws. It's not that we have. It's because Jesus did that for us, and then he traded his perfection for our sin. That is precisely what it means when it says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The good news continues. Paul writes this, "But you are not in the sinful flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed God's Spirit lives in you. If Christ is in you, your spirit is alive because of righteousness." This is good news. We don't have to be bullied around by the sinful nature anymore because we belong to Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Our spirit is alive. We are free to live in thanks and love toward God. That's what grace has done for us. A surgeon's quick and skilled work on your heart, or a rescuer's dropping into a canyon to rescue you, can be dramatic and life-saving. But those things are nothing compared to the dramatic action of God the Father sending his one and only Son into the world to live and die and rise again, to heal our hearts and to rescue us from death because of our sins, and to rip away the control of the sinful nature and empower us with the Spirit and promise us eternal life with him when we die. We deserve condemnation, but we get grace instead. Walk out of here today remembering these sweet words. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.